You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Thursday. Thank you for joining us here today, folks. Friends, brethren, happy Thursday to you. We're getting that much closer to the weekend here. I invite you guys to church this weekend. My sermon this weekend is called The Doctrine of Christ. And it probably is the most important sermon I could ever preach. And that is, what do you believe about Jesus? And there's such a dire warning in this text. It's 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verses 7 through 9, it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So logically, we have to ask the question, well, what is the doctrine of Christ? That's what we're going to look at this Sunday morning. And you are invited. We would love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. The place, Island Community Church. The location, 1000 North Bonetta River Drive, Merritt Island. Our service starts around 10:35. We would love to see you. The Facebook feed will be on live. If you are unable to attend, maybe you're a shut-in or you're unable to attend this week, you could watch online. You also you can find the sermon on our YouTube page shortly thereafter, Island Community Church on YouTube. Now, here on the radio, we're going through both the book of Acts, and on the other days, we're going through the book of Revelation. We're up to chapter 8, and speaking of Associate Pastor Darren Solana, he's going to bring us the word today. This is Revelation chapter 8, and his sermon is entitled Silence in Heaven. Looking forward to this. This will play today and tomorrow. Pastor Darren is a wonderful, systematic Bible teacher and preacher, and we're going to be going all over the book of Revelation and in the Bible as we connect dots. And looking forward to this. Enjoy today's message. This will wrap up tomorrow on Friday. Silence in Heaven from Revelation chapter 8.
I will be in the book of Revelation. Y'all want to turn there while I get ready. I'll be at Revelation chapter 8. We've done a lot of praying this morning. I prayed before I left the house. We prayed. Sharon and I prayed in the parking lot. Pastor and Dwayne and me prayed in his office. Pastor prayed this morning at Sunday school. Pastor prayed just now, and I'm going to pray again. How about that? Father God, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, you're worthy. All the praise and the honor and the glory. Father, use us today for your glory. Lord, open up ears to hear. Hearts to receive. Give us wisdom, Lord. Understanding. Help us to meditate on your word, your truths. Help us in all that we do, Father, to walk this walk of faith and to walk in love. Help us in all that we do to be a light in a dark, dark world today, Father. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 8. Pastor has been preaching a series on the book of Revelation before the Christmas season started. I asked him if I could preach a chapter in this series, and he said yes. So that's what I'm going to do today. Pastor left off at the end of chapter 7. I'm going to start up at chapter 8. And then, Lord willing, Pastor will pick up next week at chapter 9. I'm going to go through chapter 8 verse by verse. And for anybody that attends my Sunday school class, maybe, I might finish a whole chapter in 45 minutes. I might not. But I'm going to give it a try. So we're going to start at we're going to be jumping around, but we'll be jumping around in Revelation. So we'll be using our fingers instead of bookmarks today. We'll start at Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. The heading in the New King James says, seventh seal, prelude to the seven trumpets. 8:1, it says, when I opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. During my study, I stopped right there. You can't get past it. Or can you? Did you notice what he just said? He says, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I thought, is that significant? Absolutely, it's significant. I want to show you why. Turn to chapter 7 of Revelation. Chapter 7, verse 9. Now, as I go through this, listen to what is being said in heaven. Chapter 7, verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Listen to what is being said in heaven. Verse 9 says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, and out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the 24 living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Turn to chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Turn back to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Do you see the significance now? The significance is, for a half hour, no one's worshiping. Before this, and I'll show you after this, that worshiping was going on 24/7 in heaven. I'll show you after this half hour is over, after these things come to pass, worship picks right back up. Don't you think it's odd that for a half hour, worship has stopped in heaven? You say, well, I thought it was odd. You know, I couldn't get past this verse. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not just something about silence for a half hour. This is about worship. And I want to know why it stopped. And I don't. I can only make a speculation. And making a speculation would be my opinion. And I can make a speculation and opinion. And it might give you something to think about. And I hope it does give you something to think about. Because I want to challenge you to think, to meditate on the Word of God, to sit here and say, what if, what if, what if? And then try to find the what if in the Bible. I can't find this. But I think it's awful odd and ironic that that worship in heaven has stopped for a half hour. And I want to know why. I ask myself. I'm sitting at my desk doing this study, and I would say, I'm thinking, now what would cause worship to stop? And in my studies, I just ask myself a lot of questions. John MacArthur writes, "The silence of awe and anticipation at the grim reality of the judgments God is about to unleash." To put it in modern day terms, things are fixing to get real. And I get that. I get that. All hell is fixing to break loose. I can understand where all of history is leading up to one moment, and that moment is now here, and it's leaving everyone in heaven, not only everyone in heaven, but the creatures, animals, fish, everything that's in heaven, that's on the earth, and under the earth, have gone silent. This is serious. This is majorly serious. But I ask myself the other question. And I may not know the answer to this, but you might lay awake tonight thinking about it, trying to figure it out. And if you do, good. I've done my job. My question is, how do they know? Now, MacArthur writes, well, their silence is going on because they're in awe of the anticipation of what's fixing to come. How do they know what's fixing to come? Matthew 24:36 says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So how do they know? Speculation. I can't find the answer. I can imagine that something just happened. Some sort of sign, or some sort of signal that caused silence. My speculation is, and I could be wrong, could be very much wrong, but it's my speculation. Maybe the one who was sitting, maybe the object of their worship, who was sitting, has just now stood up. Speculation. I hope it causes you to think. Okay, back to the text. Chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Let me give you an illustration of what this looks like. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I'll show you what it looks like on earth. It just described what it looked like in heaven. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. So that gives you an illustration, an earthly illustration of roughly what's going on here in heaven at this time. Now this censer is a small portable vessel of metal, and it's fitted to receive burning coals from the altar, and on which the incense for burning was sprinkled. And not to make light of it, but I'm just trying to give you a visualization of what this might look like a small charcoal grill, kind of round in shape, with chains or strings on it. I'm sure you've probably seen some in religious ceremonies where the priests walk around and they've got this censer and they're walking around with it. Smoke's coming out of it. Incense. Well, that's the gist of it. And this is being, when this happens, so they take the coals from the altar and they put them in this censer. And when they do that, then they take and sprinkle incense on top of the coals and pray. And these prayers are offered up. This is the gist of it. Verse 5 says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And I don't know whether they're connected or not, but when I read this, it made me think of Romans chapter 12. And he says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. So now we see an angel in heaven with a censer that's been filled with fire from the altar of God, and it's being thrown down to the earth. And it says there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Hold your finger right there. Hold your finger on chapter 8 and turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, starting at verse 17. But while you're holding there for your finger on Revelation chapter 8, look at what it says there, Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. And it says, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such as mighty and great earthquake has not occurred since men were on the earth. That is word for word, chapter 8, verse 5. Now, keep holding your finger. Don't let go of chapter 16, because we're just going to go back and forth between 8 and 16, and 8 and 16. But I do want to ask you this, let you decide for yourself. What I just read to you, chapter 8, verses 5, at chapter 8, 5, in Revelation 16, 18, would you say that that's the same event?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll let you decide for yourself. I don't have to tell you.
The Word tells you.
The Word tells you. Listen. Revelation 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned. Then the second angel sounded, verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So we've got a first angel sounding, and hail and fire comes down, mingled with blood. Then you got a second trumpet, second angel sounds. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Look at 7, 8, 7. First the angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth. Turn to 16. 16, verse 21. And great hail fell from heaven. Great hail from heaven fell upon them, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Then we get to the second angel, second trumpet. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Now this is verse 3. It says, and the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became as blood, as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. I'm going to continue back to Revelation chapter 8. I'm not losing anybody, am I? Not yet. 8:10, third trumpet. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Revelation 16:4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Same event? Let's continue. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. Fourth trumpet. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. that one's kind of interesting because I found a comparison for that in Revelation chapter 6. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. He says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and in rocks of mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Pretty scary, huh? What I'm trying to do is show you the difficulty of putting the book of Revelation in chronological order. Because it didn't come to us with chapters and verses in it. Didn't come to us like that. So normally what I do when I study the book of Revelation, I just make a list of what... So I made a list of what John sees. And I put on my heading, this is what John sees. And then I broke it down because I wanted to know where John's seeing it at. So I made a list. This is what John sees on earth. This is what John sees happening in heaven. Because he's going back and forth. If you read it, if you read Revelation, he'll say, and I saw this happen on earth. And I saw this happening in heaven. So the only thing I'm asking is, where are you standing at, John, when you're watching these things? And you can distinguish and just break them down. And then watch what he says he sees. And watch what he says he hears. And then he describes them almost to a T in different places in the Bible. So you say, well, you know, you're trying to create a timeline for these things, and you say, well, it had to happen after, because that's in chapter 16. That's the end. No, same thing's going on in chapter 6.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, we have a question today that comes from Matthew 5:44. That's where Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, John, I'm wondering, how exactly do you pray for your enemies? Is that a prayer for their salvation, or is it something else?
That's a good question, Denny, and I'm sure there are some people who are praying the imprecatory psalms on the heads of their enemies, like David did, you know, kill them, Lord, kill them. But David was really being honorable in that, you know, zeal for God's house was eating him up, and the reproaches that people were casting on God were falling on him, and he was feeling the pain of God being dishonored. And there is a place for praying that God would silence those who dishonor him, that he would silence those who blaspheme him. I understand that. That's been part of the prayer life of the saints. You know, even under the altar in the book of Revelation in the end of the age, the martyrs are saying, how long, O Lord, how long, how long are you going to allow your name to be dishonored? How long are you going to stand for that? But the primary responsibility that our Lord assigns to us in Matthew 5 is to pray for the blessing of our enemies, to pray for the salvation of our enemies.